Well, it's good to see all of you who are here. I see a lot of faces that I don't know and didn't get to meet yet, and I am that guy. I want to meet every single person. When I drive off the lot, I'm thinking, oh, I missed so many people I didn't get to talk to today. So I'm that guy. I know some people are not like that. Some of you are you're here, and it's a struggle to be around people, and then you need to be alone for a while to recharge. So I'm not that. I don't mind being alone, but I sure do. I get charged out of being with people, and especially meeting new people and finding out. So if I didn't get to greet you, I wanted to, and I'll try to. But well, we live in interesting times, don't we? Have you guys noticed that? I want to talk to you about something today that I'm going to actually do a four-week series on this topic, but today's going to be a big introduction. I'm going to cover a lot of the main points, and so I hope you will come back if this is something that kind of tugs at your heartstrings, and I'm always aware of this. For some people, they may sit here and think, I don't know if I agree with that, and that's okay. I hope you just wait me out, listen to what I'm saying, and see if God doesn't speak to your heart about it and maybe change your mind. But have you ever wondered why bad things happen to good people? You ever wondered that? How many here would consider yourselves good? I mean, mostly good. Not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You're all afraid to raise your hands. You think I'm setting you up for something. I'm not. How many of you are basically, you're good? You can raise your hands. Come on. Really? But have you noticed that bad things happen? I mean, they happen a lot. And doesn't it seem like it would be fair and right if basically, generally, good things happen to people who are good? Haven't you noticed that sometimes when you hear about something bad happening to a bad person, you're kind of like, well, kind of had it coming, right? But you at least think that good people should have better things happen to them than bad people. And I know. I mean, for me, I wonder, why do kids suffer? They never done anything wrong. Why do babies die? People ask me as a pastor, what's the hardest funerals to do? Babies and suicides, the hardest ever. It just tugs at my heart the whole time. Whew, chokes me up just thinking about them. They didn't have a chance to do anything. It just doesn't seem right. And you know, you're probably aware, what I'm kind of describing is really karma. The idea that bad things happen to bad people, good things happen to good people. And most religions are kind of built on that. Most religions kind of have that built in, and some of them, they call it that, but everybody kind of has this idea, and even you could see some of that maybe even in the book of Proverbs, the way that, you know, Proverbs are Proverbs. They're not really promises. They're basically, if you follow these instructions and do these good things, then generally good outcomes will happen, and if you live poorly, then poor outcomes will happen, and if you live by the rules, it should work out that way, and as Christians, we claim God is good. I mean, he's good. And we say he's all-powerful and all-knowing. So it makes you wonder then when terrorists fly planes into buildings and little girls at a church camp are washed away in a once-in-a-generation flood in the middle of the night. How does that happen? And even now, I am praying beyond praying and hoping beyond hope that the hostages are returned to Israel tomorrow. It's supposed to be overnight. Daytime for them, you know, they're 7 hours ahead. So I'm praying beyond hope. I mean, there's hopefully 20 alive, 2 years in captivity. Why? Why are people so evil to each other? Who would have ever thought that would be okay? And so the question is, if God is good and all-knowing and all-powerful, why would he allow such horrible things? And if he could stop it and he cares about me, why does he let that happen? So many people walk through life and they feel like victims of something, that something's not fair. And they look around and, you know, maybe it's the person who looks and says, I don't look like the person on TV or the beauty queen, or maybe they have a disability or maybe some misfortune, or maybe they lost their mom when they were young, or maybe they're caught in war, or they're dealing with a physical thing that's just overwhelming. And it just seems unfair, and there's injuries that happen and natural disasters and earthquakes and floods and tsunamis. And I mean, the world is full of examples of this where things that are happening are horrible. And this idea is not new. The idea that things should be better and that God should do more about it. There's a Greek philosopher named Epicurus. He lived in the 5th century BC in Greece. They actually call this the Epicurean paradox. He wrote this all those years ago. Would God be willing to prevent evil but unable? Therefore, he's not omnipotent. Would he be capable but without desire? Then he is malevolent. Would he be both capable and willing? So why is there evil? Now, what we're talking about today, it's at some level going to sound kind of philosophical, and it's going to sound, it sounds like we're dismissing people's hurt and pain, and I'm not. What I'm trying to do is to get us to deal with an issue that you really do need to deal with before tragedy strikes. Because a lot of times if you're in the middle of tragedy, it's really hard to then feel like you can think through the process because your heart is hurting so bad. What I've noticed over the years is that it's really hard to logic away emotional conclusions. And if you've already decided that God's not fair or the world's not fair because of something that's happened and it's emotionally really heavy on your heart, it's hard to get your mind in a place where you can logic it away. You know how it is, right? Anybody else liked a girl when you were young and she didn't like you back? Anybody? Really? We're not raising our hands or responding today? Is it just me? And I remember telling my mom, and she said that line. Yeah, I bet you know the line she used. There's a lot more fish. I'm like, well, Mom, I'm not looking for a fish. And then I remember it was like it's yesterday, because it was emotional pain. You remember these emotional times. And I said, Mom, I want that fish, not the other fish, right? Seems silly now as you look back and think about life, and there's so many more important things. But when we tell people those kinds of things, somebody passes away and we say something like, well, God needed another angel, or needed him more than we did, or he's in a better place. Those things seem very cold and insensitive when you're hurting. It's really important to acknowledge the pain somebody's in. And I hope nobody in here feels like I don't, because I do. It's really important to deal with these issues, because emotional, painful crises come all the time. This issue came home to me years ago when I lived in Los Angeles. In fact, it'll be, I got to do the math now. It'll be 26 years ago. No, 25 years ago this year, right? No, 26, sorry. It was 1999. I was a youth pastor in the Los Angeles area, and I was riding a motorcycle for a friend of mine, because what had happened is he'd been murdered. It's a tragedy, absolute tragedy. And he had two kids in my youth group. They were kids in my youth group. And I was over at their house, and his name was Ray. And his wife, Shelly, asked me to ride his motorcycle around the block one time in his memory. That's what I was doing when two cars got in an accident ahead of me. Please. We did a wedding here in Missouri. My wife's from Missouri, but we lived in L.A. I lived in L.A., so I moved her out there, and that was my bike. Isn't that beautiful? And then the wedding dress. You know what I never thought about till years later? I was showing this picture to some high school kids, and one of them said, what if her dress got caught in the back? Yeah. Oh, boy. Never thought about that. But we rode around the block that day. It was amazing. You know, people out in their lawns just cheering. It was pretty funny. But so this wasn't that day, obviously, but I was riding the bike around the block in my friend's memory when two cars got in an accident ahead of me in an intersection, and they were sliding toward me, and then I was on his motorcycle. It wasn't that bike. I could have stopped on that probably, but I was sliding toward them, and when they hit me right on the side right here, I flew over the motorcycle and the cars, and I remember flying through the air thinking, because it's California, I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and I had a helmet on, of course, but no gloves, so I thought, I gotta roll. So I remember rolling and came to a stop, tried to sit up. I was a little disoriented, of course, and I tried to sit up, but really short story here, long story. My hip was dislocated and shattered, because what had happened is my leg got trapped and it pushed my hip inside out, inside my socket, and then it tore my foot off. And so, and I know not everybody knows that, but yeah, I have a prosthetic leg. My leg goes right down to here, about halfway down the shin. So, I know it's a big story, right? People ask me, in the hospital even, I had friends of mine call me, why do you think this happened? I'm like, I don't know. I could have said that, right? I could have complained and said, why me? I was literally doing the Lord's work. I was literally ministering to a family right there. Plus, I'm a nice guy, right? I didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve any of this. I wasn't being reckless. I was being careful. I was, you know, riding the speed limit. And if you go back to that karma idea, it'd be easier to understand if I was being reckless. I mean, if I was doing something crazy on the motorcycle, but I wasn't that day. I could have blamed God. I was working for God. I was literally doing my job. And my friend had been murdered. And I was helping out his widow. I was literally doing the best I could for somebody in a crisis, trying to minister to them in their time of need. I didn't have a hidden sin, and I had faith. I mean, all of that. And here's the sad thing is a lot of people in similar situations, I know your situations are different. Everybody's got a different situation. It's funny to me because somebody will come up and they'll be on crutches, maybe have a sprained ankle, and they'll say something like, oh, my ankle's killing me. Then they look at my foot and they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, no, your ankle still hurts. It's not like this is worse than anything else. We all have things. And we could blame people. In similar situations, people, they wonder, they say, if God is good, why don't good things always happen to me? And if God is good, why did this bad thing happen to me? And if he's all powerful, couldn't he have created a world? I've had people ask me this literal question. If God is all powerful, couldn't he have created a world where there were no crashes and no pain? You know what I wonder though? Maybe he could, but would you know? I mean, would you even know? If there was a world with no pain, would you know? And if God's all-knowing, why didn't he care enough to have me turn right instead of left? But that would have been just caring for me. What about the other two cars? They would have still been an accident. There would have still been an accident if I wasn't invited to it. It would have still happened. I mean, it can't be just about me. And I wonder sometimes, I think we do that a lot, where we define the goodness of God based on just me. I mean, is God's goodness and his power and his foreknowledge just for me and my personal comfort and my personal protection? I mean, is God's power and all of that just about me being happy and living carefree? How many marriages have been destroyed because someone just wants to be happy? Happiness is not the goal. I think even at the heart of this question really is an attack on God's character. You may not have thought of that way. And this is where I want you to hang in there with me for a minute. Because you might be in pain right now, and you might be angry at God, but when I turned it that way and said it was an attack on his character, you might have stepped back and said, wait a minute, I'm not doing that. Just bear with me for a minute. Is he good? Is he good? Is he really good? Even in the middle of what you're going through, and even in the middle of something bad in your life, is he still good? I mean, can you really be blaming him and still think he's good? And then I think that we need to do is wonder, is he good by what definition? How do you define good? Do we define good, like I said a minute ago, by what happens to me? And is he only good if I think he's good? And is he only good if it works out just the way I want all the time? Or is he good all the time? Do I just define good by what I want, when I want it, how I want it? Am I the center of the universe? I'm not. Seems to me, and it reminds me of the question that the enemy asked Eve in the garden. You realize what he did? He set up the entire human race with that question, and it's the same thing he does to us all the time. Because we always fall for it. Because we're so self-centered that we do start to think it's just about us. God gave them an incredible garden to live in. Every single need was met. Everything they could have ever wanted was right there for them. And he said, just don't eat of this tree. And what do we do as humans? We focus on that tree and not all the good we have. So the enemy came to her and he said, did God really say? Getting her to doubt God. And then he tried to plant this thought in her head that God was keeping something good from her. And he said, all he's doing is not letting you be like him. I think God is more than that. What if life is actually about more than me escaping all pain and discomfort. We're Americans. We are the most comfortable people in the entire world at every level. No matter where you land on the scale of income, you are still wealthier than most of the people in the entire world and most of the people who've ever lived. They have no idea what it's like to be an American. I mean, let's be honest. We feel like we're in discomfort if we can't find a charging block for our charging cable. We feel like we're out of comfort if somebody won't answer our text in the other room. If our microwave food doesn't happen quick enough. If our tap water doesn't get hot when we want it. When our air conditioning goes out. I mean, most of us in this room have never gone without food. Some of us were talking about how we're cooking hot dogs, and we were just talking about how, you know, when we were growing up, it was a different time. You know, I wouldn't say we were poor, but I didn't know you could buy hamburger buns in the store. We didn't have that growing up. We had a slice of bread, right? And we're not complaining. I'm not complaining about it. But it just made me remember we were doing a missions trip in Mexico years ago, and we would do work. I would set it up with other youth groups, and we would each have a church that we worked with, and then each evening we would invite the pastor and his wife for dinner. And I was kind of embarrassed because my pastor and his wife came on hot dog night, and I was embarrassed. And so I was apologizing to him in Spanish for hot dogs. And he said to me, "This is the only meat I've had all month." Wow. Man. But what if life isn't just about us being comfortable? What if life is more than that? You know the Christian worldview? The Christian worldview tells the story, like I prayed earlier today, that God made the world perfect, and he created humans for relationship with him. And because of our sin, we were separated from him. The goal of life is really relationship with God, to worship him, to know him forever. That's the goal. However we get there really is inconsequential, because life starts now and lasts forever with him. No one ever really dies. What we do is just change our address from here to there. And when you see the world that way, everything changes. What you see as such a big discomfort really doesn't matter that much anymore. It's not as if it's not real and it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying that. I put a leg on every day. I get it, what it means to be discomforted. But I also know what it's like to be able to enjoy him forever. The Christian worldview is about God creating perfection and for a true loving relationship. And then he paved the way for us to have that again. And really the point of our lives is to get as many people to join us with him in heaven as possible. And for us to get to share with them what really matters in life. And I get it, though. We want to know what causes evil. I get it. You want to know what it is, and we want to boil it down to some single answer. You know, why did this one thing happen? People have asked me that all the time. We just blame God a lot of times. We just point at him. You know what we never do is blame us. There's really a comical scripture in Proverbs. The Bible is so comical at places. Listen, look at this. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness, and then they're angry at the Lord.
Yep.
Not you, other people. But people blame all the time. People ask me all the time, why did it happen? And I know at one level they're asking a very cosmic question. I get it. But I like to have fun with them, and I'll tell them, well, this girl did get a ticket for failure to yield. She cut a guy off the light. That's why. I mean, if you really want to get down to it, I was asked to ride a motorcycle because I like motorcycles. I could blame Harley Davidson because they're cool. Have you heard them? They're cool. I don't care. I could listen to that sound every day of my life. There's just something cool about riding a bike. If you've never done it, I don't want to get into an argument about how can you say that? You lost your leg. Like, look, it's cool. I'd do it again. Why did it happen? Well, I was friends with Ray and Shelley. That's why it happened. They went to my church. Their kids were in my youth group. I love them. I turned left instead of right. I went a certain speed instead of slower or faster. 5 seconds changed my whole life. Do you realize that? 5 seconds. The world's so complex. You can't boil it down to one thing. I think it's a trick of the enemy to get you to try to just blame something. Because when you blame, then you become a victim, and then you live in pain, and you're focused on that rather than accepting the world for the evil that's in it and praising God and seeing the good he can bring out of it. Yes. If all you're doing is focused on the why and the wrong of it, then you live in that trap. It's a trap. You know what else is beautiful about it? And here's, just think about this for a second. Why does anything bad happen? It all happens as a consequence of choices. We all make choices, and choices have been made throughout all of history, and those choices have consequences. Why did God even allow us to have choices? I believe he did it because of this, because he wanted true followers. He wanted somebody to love him, to choose to love him. He could have created us robots. He could have done that. He could have lessened our amount of choice. He could have done that. But in doing that, we wouldn't have the ability to choose him in a true loving relationship. He didn't want just fancy robots. What he wanted is real people with real choices to either love him or not. And when we love him and obey him and choose him, that is beautiful. And when we don't, there are consequences. We know that. The fact is, you learn so much in those choices too. Life is like that. What if God allows our choices like that because that evil in our lives serves a greater purpose that you didn't even see or notice? What if the evil in the world actually teaches us things you could never learn another way? I know we like to think, well, what if God could create a world with no problems? Well, no problems. What do they say? No problems, no headache, or no brain, no headache. You wouldn't even know. Think about this for a second. How do you learn patience? You ask God for patience. Does he just give it to you, all gift wrapped? Or does he give you a situation to learn patience? How do you learn courage? Without a situation that requires courage. Hardship teaches you in a way that nothing else can teach you. You learn those lessons longer and deeper than anything else. And as a teacher, I want every student of mine to get an A because I want them to know the material. But a lot of times, you don't know how much you've learned until you don't score well and then have to learn it harder. Think about this. You realize that toddlers learn to walk by falling? Did you know that? How many times does a little baby fall before they walk? 1,000? And if you as a parent loved them so much that you would stop them from falling every time, you would actually keep them from walking. Think about all the hardship that we put our special forces through and our elite athletes. There's a reason they train so hard, because that's the only way they can learn to be able to achieve on the field. James' brother said it this way: rejoice when troubles of any kind come your way. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I've learned so much through this lake. I've learned lessons I would have never ever learned before. I've learned perspective in a way that is hard to relate to people. There's something about, I was going to sound strange to everybody in the room probably, but I can't tell you how nice it is to walk. How much of a gift it is to walk, to get your own glass of water, to just get up and do whatever you need to do, and to not be in pain. It's an amazing gift. And to know that there's way worse things. I've had the opportunity a few times to speak at a handicapped camp where everybody there is handicapped. I walk in and I am the least handicapped in the room. I brought my handicap placard and I said, well, this was no use to me today. You guys took all the good spots. They laughed. They enjoyed it. But can I tell you how humbling it is to talk to somebody who can't move one limb and they're happy and content because God loves them and they're living their life to the fullest, when many of us just upset because we have an ache or pain? I've learned humility that I would have never learned, that I need people and that I need to accept help. The respect I have for nurses and CNAs and the kindness of strangers. How precious and fragile life is. How important people and relationships are. The empathy I learned laying in a hospital bed for nearly 2 months. As a minister, I can't tell you how invaluable that is. When I walk into a hospital bed and hospital room and somebody's there, I've been there. I know what the machines do because I've been there. Changed everything. You know what's sad? Because the enemy hasn't really changed his tactics a lot. He still gets us to doubt God's goodness. And he still gets us to wonder if God is keeping something from us. I really believe he gave us that freedom to choose because he wanted us to have the dignity of choice, to choose him. Our choices, though, they have consequences. I think this too. You can find an identity that's outside of whatever it is that's happened to you. It's funny. I know people who their whole identity is being an amputee or being handicapped, and I get that. But I also look at it as an opportunity. For me, it's been an opportunity, and it opens conversations, which I can't even tell you how many times I've gotten to share Christ with strangers, absolute strangers. But getting back to this whole thing, we oftentimes call this a problem of evil. And you may not realize this, but a lot of unbelievers, this is their number one reason. Because what they'll say, if God is good, then why did he take my mom from me at a young age? Or they'll say, if God is good, why does he allow war? If God is good, and they have their issues. I try to lean into that, and I say, I understand that. But if there is no God, what's your answer to that question? They have none. This question is absolutely devastating for people without God. Absolutely devastating. The atheist has no answer to this. Sadly, they don't intend to even have an answer. Dawkins, famous atheist, he said this, the universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect. If there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference, that is a hopeless, dark world. We don't have that. As a Christian, it's totally different. Because for a Christian, we see that God, not only did he come into the world to redeem us and he offers us relationship, but that in the end, there is justice. There is justice. Because if there is no God and there is no afterlife and there is no heaven and there is no hell, then there would be never a sense of right and wrong and a sense of justice. There would never be the idea that the world would be made right. And the truth is, in the Christian worldview, Jesus actually enters our world and makes it right. He enters our world and becomes one of us and experiences pain and loss that we could never imagine. And he does it for all of us. He entered right in the middle of our pain and he suffered for us. And then afterward, he walks with us and he redeems our pain. And whatever you've been through, he can take that and actually give you purpose in your pain. And he can take it and he make things beautiful like you could never, ever see before. Romans 8:28 says he works all things together for good to those who are called and loving according to his purpose. I want to challenge you to do something today that, again, may be hard for some of you. I feel like you kind of got three responses today. You might have come in here today and just came because of the event today or someone invited you. And maybe for the first time you thought about, wow, if that's true and there's a God like that, then I do want to give my life to him. That might be you. You might be here today and maybe you didn't even realize it, but you did have some issues with God and you were angry in a way you couldn't even put your finger on. If I could get some music behind me, that'd be great. Maybe for you, you didn't even realize you had an issue. What I want to ask you to do today is something different than maybe your normal reaction. Your normal reaction might be to say to God, I'm upset at you and push him away. I'm going to ask you to do the exact opposite. I'm going to ask you when we pray in a minute here to open up your hearts and minds and just tell him, God, I'm sorry I've pushed you away. I need you. I actually need you right now. And there might be people here, you've been following God your whole life and you just want to celebrate. To celebrate the fact that he's a God who loves you and cares about you and takes your pain and makes it beautiful. It's what he does. Would you join me in a word of prayer for just a minute here? I'd like everybody just to shut your eyes for a second. If you're in that first group, and maybe you've never, ever become a Christian before, but today you're interested, you're open to that, that you're considering it, if that is you, would you do me a big favor and just raise your hand? I just want to pray with you. We're just going to pray. This whole room will pray with you. Anybody like that at all? I'll give you a second here. I want to pray with that second group. If you're here today and you're in that second group, then maybe you didn't even realize, but you've kind of pushed him away. Your heart toward God has gone a little cold, a little hard, because you felt like maybe he didn't come through for you when you needed him. Maybe he disappointed you. What I'm here to tell you today is it's not as if there aren't disappointments. There are. The world is broken. The world is broken. He made it perfect, but if we're being honest, we broke it. But he's come to redeem it. And what's beautiful is you get to be part of the redemption. Every single one of you. Would you stand with me for a moment? I know we're having a different day today and we're going to dismiss and there's stuff to do outside. I get it. But I don't want to rush away from this moment. So with your eyes still closed and your heads bowed for just a moment, if that's you and you've kind of pushed him away, but you want to tell him today, God, I'm sorry. I need you in my life. I need all of you. And you want to embrace him in a new way today, would you just raise your hands real quick? I want to pray with you. Appreciate that. Thank you for that honesty. See those hands? Would you join me for just a moment in prayer? And I want to always give this opportunity. If you want prayer for anything, we have people here to pray with you. If you're one of our leaders who are prepared to pray, one of our staff or one of our deacons and spouses, if you'd come forward real quick. We want to always be available to pray. But I want to pray over all of us in this room and bless you out this door. Father, I'm grateful that you are a loving God. God, I'm grateful that you created us. You knew us before this world was ever created. Psalm 139 says that you planned all of our days. God, I'm grateful for that. And I pray in the name of Jesus for every single person in this room, maybe because of something that's happened or a disappointment or something that hasn't gone right for them, that they've pushed you away. I pray, God, that right now in this moment, that they would open their heart and mind to you. God, that you would allow or you would come back into their heart and mind in a way that just reassures them, that they'd be able to sense your presence in a deep and meaningful way right here in this room. In the privacy of our closed eyes, that God, that you would do that with them today. And I pray, Father, that you would remind them of your love and care for them many, many times through this day, whether it's a word someone says or something that you bring back to their memory or something you allow them to see, that you would just continually remind them through this day how much you love them and care for them. Father, I pray for all of us in this room as we head out of this place, that you would help us to be just agents of joy and reconciliation in every single way. That as we see people who are hurting, you would help us, give us the right words to comfort them, to encourage them, to come alongside them, and to help them in the middle of their pain. We pray you would do that for all of us. Help us to do that through us, so you would use us to love this world and lead them to a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you today. If you come up for prayer, great. If you are leaving today and you aren't going to stay for the event, that's fine. You can go ahead and use the regular doors. But the rest of us, we're just asking for you to go out to your left and around through the gym and go ahead and grab some food and head out and enjoy yourselves. God bless you today. Meet some new people. Greet some people.